Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
Why don't you come up front?
I'm okay. Come on up front. I'm good.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why? What's the difference?
I'm not going to drive you around like I'm your chauffeur. Get in the front seat, all right?
Yeah, you're not driving me around like I'm a chauffeur. With 2 minutes from the rehearsal hall.
And the bulldog.
You know, what kind of person asks another person to drive them around like this? This kind of mentality is what's...
Whoa, what kind of person is so insecure that they have to make somebody move into the front seat so they don't think that they're driving somebody around?
No, the kind of person is so insecure that needs to be driven around in the back seat.
Nothing to do with me being driven
around.
Why don't
you around?
Leave my seat? Go into the front seat.
Because I asked you to sit in the front seat of my car, and it's my car.
No. On WGR.
You would have already been there already.
Yes, you would have.
Oh, you can't drive with somebody in the back
seat. Yeah, you're such a baby. You're a grown man baby. You know what? Little baby wants to ride, we'll give little baby a ride.
You know what? Okay? Little baby wants to walk.
Sports Radio 550.
Where does this, knowing as how little time we spend on college football, where does this Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban business, rank for you? How interesting is that? I mean, if you were really into college football, or even just, like, kind of into it, it seems, like, pretty major.
Yeah, I'm, it rates. It rates pretty highly. I'm pretty into college football, I guess. You know, I watch it most Saturdays for at least a while. You know, I don't exactly have a favorite team or anything. I like to watch the SEC mostly.
Do you need to have a favorite in the feud? Do you need to be on one side of things, or can you just sort of get some popcorn and listen to these two guys?
I think you could just get some popcorn. I think I'm mostly here for popcorn. Because I don't know. I mean, I think Saban probably is the bad guy, but I mean, I don't know. Jimbo Fisher's been a big-time football coach for a long time. And the idea that he's never done any of the stuff he's seemingly subtly or not so subtly accusing Nick Saban of doing, I mean, I would have a hard time swallowing that whole.
Yeah.
But it does seem like Saban is being kind of a baby. And so I'm here for Jimbo Fisher smacking him around, even if he's, you know, a bit duplicitous in the process.
Right. Like, I don't really want to be on the air settling for, come on, they're all corrupt. Like, who hasn't been paying players forever in those schools? Really? Like, Alabama? There's nothing going on in the back with Alabama? Like, now, only Texas A&M or Jackson State? I mean, I just can't. It's probably lazy and wrong, but it just feels like it takes a lot of nerve to call out somebody else in major college football for their actions like this.
Right,
you'd better have it. Like, you'd better be beyond reproach. And, like, just what are the chances that there isn't some dirt, right? Or just heaping mounds of it.
Won't this cause someone to look deeper at everybody, like Jimbo Fisher included? So, you know, that's the kind of thing that, I don't know, if he's daring you to find out if he's clean, then maybe I shouldn't be so skeptical, right? Like, that's one of those things that it makes you pause, thinking, well, you know, I don't know what he really, because why do people not usually call people out? Is because they're worried about their own situation. So that's maybe what's most interesting about it, is that you've got some big names pretty far out to sea right now on this story. Fisher and Saban, really. So, like, I don't know what'll come of it, but I would think, like, if I'm running the editorial department at like ESPN.com or some other some big, you know, that's got journalists on staff to like dig into something, I don't know, man. I think I'd be going to work on those guys right now.
It just,
and finding sources and trying to find out if I can get more info.
Is it probably as simple as Alabama in a world where nobody's, like, at least
nobody's
legally.
Nobody's paid.
Right. In that world, Alabama is such a dominant force, and that in this world, they'd be less of one. I mean, they could also come with the goods and sign guys and pay them, all that name, image, likeness business. Like, they could do that. I don't know if they are or not, but he's saying that A&M did that and we didn't.
And they are, by the way. Bryce Young, Alabama's quarterback, on the first day NIL was legal, got a $1 million endorsement deal. So, like,
but he was already in the program.
He was already in the program. So that part of it is a little bit different.
That's something like, what is Saban's angle here? Like, is he unwilling to have the university or the program utilize what's available now from a financial standpoint? Or are they somehow not equipped to pay? Alabama.
No.
I mean,
I don't think it's either of those things. I think it's like what you said, he was being a baby. I think it's like now it's going to be harder.
Right. Now he's got competition.
Right.
Now he's got – there's another avenue to compete with Alabama. And I think all of it could just be bitterness on Saban's part that he can't dominate the recruiting classes anymore and that Jackson State can find their way to the number one recruit in the country because now there's a financial element to it that didn't previously exist. And to me, that's just – That's Saban being bitter more than it is anything. I don't like Jimbo. You asked if like you have to be on a side to be interested in it. For me, I'm not a college football fan, so for me that answer was yes, and I'm on Jimbo Fisher's side in a runaway in this one, and it will get me to care about A&M and Alabama this year.
I'm not really a fan of his, but he got off.
She did.
Jimbo Fisher. He got off. So anyway, kind of an interesting thing today.
Yeah. I agree.
At a sports time where it's kind of a lot. Maybe it's sort of a sneaky, the PGA, if you're into the PGA, it's just, and I am, we are, I think, all of us. So,
holes from John Daly. We were so close.
How about that guy?
To having a John Daly day.
He was the first person to make a birdie. 56. Again, another guy's 56. Thurman, you, and John Daly. The number keeps coming up.
That's a trio.
Plus the beat the streak ads. So, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. I had the golf on, of course, but then remembered that Everton is playing. And they are, air quotes, my team.
And are they trying to stave off?
Yes.
Yes, that's what's happening, right?
They have two games left, and they are 2 points clear, and they're losing. So they are, you know, it's a very precarious situation for Everton. And I said to Joe, look, I mean, I don't ever claim to be like a serious fan, but I feel like I'm obligated to have this game on because this is massive for them if they
that's
were to lose.
Well, it's a respectable choice by you.
Yeah, and I can still see the golf in there. So baseball. Of course, NFL. I reached out to Joe Ostrowski earlier just to check in with him. He'll be on with us in 20 minutes. And he's like, is there anything you guys want to sort of focus on? And I just started typing out my answer. I'm like, well, we've got a golf bet. Bulldog had over 6 in the Flames game, and that cleared by 9 goals.
Right. I hope everybody got on that.
I hope Trista got on that. I got on it and told Trista, like, $10, is that massive? No. But it was $10.
It's easier to pick winners when there's only 2 games on a night. So I'm 2 for 2 the last 2 nights.
Boy, Carolina was
that was
fortunate.
A high wire act, man. That did not go smoothly at all. But they
very
got it.
Very fortunate.
Yep.
So all these things, and I mean, NFL is not active, but I mean, I'm sort of always like their number one. And I mentioned futures with Joe, so he might have a couple of thoughts on that. I certainly will. We mentioned Philadelphia yesterday on that front with who? Aaron Schatz.
Oh, right, the Eagles.
The Eagles.
Right, right.
And so they're a little bit trendy. And I was thinking about the Dolphins. Can I have a minute on the Dolphins?
Take a minute on the Dolphins.
So Aaron also yesterday, he has New England like a notch ahead of Miami. Is it strange to think that they have had two straight winning seasons?
Miami?
Yes. Is that how it feels? Because, you know, we're talking about this gap in the AFC East, and I'm not about to build an argument that there isn't one, but like the Dolphins have had two straight winning seasons here. And it feels like when we talk about them, it's more, they made lots of changes that goes with this, that it's more, they're like sort of a long way to go. And I think that might be right, but in terms of their record, it really isn't.
Yeah. I think it's because of the perceived gap really between their quarterback and the Bills quarterback. Or the gap. I don't think that's even perceived. I think it's there. Like, Tua has not demonstrated that he's capable of taking over a game the way the elite quarterbacks in the game are. And so I guess it probably, maybe at times, I think what you're asking here, does it sometimes sound like they're terrible? And I don't think they're terrible. I think, you know, even when they got Hill, you know, a lot of the jokes at first were like, oh, great, well, Tua can't throw it more than however many yards. And like, yeah, did you watch Tyreek Hill burn the Bills? It wasn't on bombs. I mean, he's done plenty of that with Mahomes, but it, you know, against the Bills, he catches 8-yard passes and runs 60 yards. And I think Tua can handle that. So I'm not assuming that that won't work and they won't be pretty good. I just don't think they're going to be, even with Hill added and everything else they've done, I don't think they're on the level the Bills are on. But I'll listen to the idea that they're better than New England. For sure, I would listen to that.
It is a new coach, and I think it's really hard to know what that is going to mean, which maybe doesn't sound like very much. Maybe it's always like that, but I think the assumption I hear the most often being made about Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins, he comes from San Francisco, and so therefore, look up San Francisco and see how, to what extent he can sort of emulate that with Miami. And that might be right. He didn't call the plays in Miami, but that might be right. They've been successful. In San Francisco.
Right.
And he will call the plays here, I guess. Yeah. But they were successful, so should that be what we expect? Because what that is run heavy. What that is, if the Dolphins are going to look like the 49ers, that's a run-heavy team. That's a team that maybe, I don't know, on Baltimore's level or just who else, you have these teams in the AFC, like starting with the Bills and the Chiefs, and then the Bengals, who are so dangerous through the air that other teams, and I know they traded for Tyreek Hill, which is why they're sort of a riddle, I think, but they might think their path is to be more run-oriented and try to play an opposite game to those teams that everybody would say are better than they are.
Well, I think he is really interesting. And, you know, the San Francisco part of it, of course, is important and probably more important than how effective he is as the head coach. But there's no stat for that, right? It'd just be wins and losses flat out. Like, is it working? Right. But he's getting rave reviews from the players for his style, for his way of communicating. And I'm interested in how that really goes when it gets to be the time, you know, when it's game time and it's get everyone together time and there's adversity time. Like, do guys believe in him or is he too much like the players? Like that doesn't have to not work, but like the guys all loving him because he's one of us, I think can be a trap door in sports. Doesn't have to be. I think it's changing, and it may have already changed to the point where I sound like, you know, like an old man with socks and sandals on screaming at clouds. But I'm just really interested to see if the sort of the new way that he seemingly is getting credit for representing, whether that really works with a group of 60 football players.
Just interesting, like their investment right now is at wide receiver. Hill and Waddle are their investment. Waddle, a sixth overall pick who was great. Tyreek Hill and that contract that he got. Like they have to be, I don't know, the coach isn't the GM and maybe it's not have to, but that's kind of what they're building, I think. but it sort of feels like maybe they want to be the other thing. And also, these things aren't really opposites necessarily or per se. Like, if you have that those dangerous weapons at receiver, that makes other things easier to do. So, I don't know. Very interesting team, I think. And also a little bit, I don't know, not surprising, but it sort of seems interesting to me that they have had winning records these last 2 years. But I don't know. Like, the Bills have pretty much blasted them in their games since Allen got here. And a lot of different possible outcomes for the Dolphins. Joe, do you know their total? Is it going to be like 8 or 9? Got to be, right?
Somewhere in the middle? Either 9 or 9.5 would be my guess. I'll pull it up real quick.
I'm going to say 9.5 is their number.
They kind of remind me of like the Alex Smith Chiefs.
I have to be under if it's 9.5. So weapons, but quarterback holds them back.
Sure. And like,
how about the actual 49ers right now?
Right. Or the 49ers right now. Right, with Garoppolo.
Right.
Yeah, just playoff team that you know really isn't a huge threat to win the Super Bowl because you just know their quarterback's going to hold it back.
San Francisco did come pretty close, but...
Yeah, they did.
Miami's win total is...
I'm definitely under if it's 9.5.
It's 9. Well. Minus 125 on the under.
Yep, that sounds right. All right. Miami or New England for you guys?
Miami.
I would say Miami.
Yeah, I'm Miami for sure on that. Just defense and running the football and no real effort other than Devontae Parker made to improve the pass game from last year to this year. And it's Belichick, Joe Judge, and Matt Patricia running the offense. Just how could anyone have confidence that that's going to be better?
On the Dolphins, what are the scenarios? Here's one that, remember I was saying, was it yesterday? Like, the Bills don't offer quite the number of scenarios to talk about that they used to. What are the scenarios for this quarterback in terms of his future? So they have had, I'm going to point to the records again, and he got pulled a bunch of times the first year, and last year when we were watching the Dolphins schedule and talking about them in the power rankings, it was always how they were terrible, but then they won a bunch of games in the second half against almost all terrible teams. So it didn't seem like it was really that great of an accomplishment. Like, does Tua need to make the playoffs? Does he need to do better than that? What would you be thinking if you were running the Dolphins about him?
I think you would – playoffs might be a – sure, playoffs is one bar to clear. I might look at, like, if he can quarterback my team to 10 wins and I don't make it, I don't know that I have to move on. But maybe, I mean, if he it depends on how it goes, you know, like, does he get those guys off, Waddle and Hill? I mean, the investment in Hill is impossible to ignore financially. So if they don't produce offense with Hill as a centerpiece, and it's because the quarterback can't make it work, I don't know, maybe it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't want to say it doesn't matter how many you win, but, like, realistically, what's the best year they could have? 11 wins, maybe? I think he's got to get those guys off in order to have that job, and I'm not as hung up on whether they win 9 or 11 games. Obviously, if they have some kind of runaway year and pass the Bills or something, I'll assume Tua graduated to another tier. I don't think you're doing that with a running game and good defense. But, I mean, it could happen. But I think he's got to get those guys off to keep that job, to keep them from looking for another replacement.
Even if that happens for 1, 2, 3 years, like, don't they get to a point, the same point that McVay and the Rams got with Goff, the same point that Shanahan got and McDaniel in San Francisco got with Garoppolo, where it's, is this guy even really making this thing run, or are we doing it? And is he actually holding us back? Because that's the landing spot both of those teams got to. And I think if I'm McDaniel, and I don't know if he has this in the back of his head, I might have that. That even if Tua makes the playoffs this year, let me pick up a lesson from Jimmy Garoppolo, that the machine is going to keep churning, whether it's him or some other guy that can just take care of the football and get it to Deebo Samuel 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And to me, like, that's Tua. That's Tua. It's the same thing. He's going to throw screens to Tyreek Hill, and he's going to throw slants over the middle to Jaylen Waddle. And to me, if I were him, there's nothing he could do to convince me that he would be the long-term answer.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, I think that Ram point is really good. You could build a team of stars, or try to, you know, hope to, and then you get to quarterback when it happens. Like, they wanted Watson, right?
At least in terms of ownership. They maybe wanted Brady.
So those things didn't come to fruition. And what were they supposed to do this year? You know?
And so, yeah, just sort of try the best they could to prop him up and give him every opportunity to show them that they should have never been looking for Deshaun Watson or Tom Brady.
And it doesn't even matter whether they didn't have the draft picks, but the quarterbacks didn't go there anyway. So the draft wasn't the answer. You just kind of, who knows if like they're competent even, but I think the right answer here is when an opportunity comes up, then you go there. Tua is your quarterback for as long as it takes until that happens, and if he happens to just explode, then you're fine. You don't have to worry about it. But San Francisco, I mean, the best left tackle in the league, the best tight end in the league, whatever you want to call Samuel, a unique weapon that was awesome for them all the time. Ayuk was more complicated last year.
Bosa and defense, yeah.
Right? They ran the ball at will with anybody they wanted, and they've been doing that ever, like, forever. So that's a pretty good, it's a pretty good thing. And if Garoppolo isn't so good, then okay, well, how far did they go? Pretty far.
Yep.
All right. The Dolphins.
The Dolphins, everyone. The Dolphins to today's show.
Right. I made the point about the owner, too. Like, he is just someone that reeks of desperation. 82, has never
reeks
won.
Of something.
He, right, well, there's the tanking allegation. There's the Brady report from Ben Volen. There's chasing Deshaun Watson and meeting with him before the trade deadline. If all of that is correct, at every turn, he acts as someone that has been the owner for 20 years, has not had an ounce of success, and knows that he's 82 years old and is staring his own mortality in the face. And he's looking desperate at every moment that position comes up.
Which is maybe not a bad thing.
Maybe not. Because it means if Tua makes, to me that means they could make the playoffs this year, maybe even win a playoff game. But if they have a game where they lose 17-13 in the postseason, that the rest of it won't matter. That it isn't even playoffs or bust for Tua, because he could make the playoffs and the owner could still land on, I've got to get better here.
It's already it's bust or bust for Tua.
Right. If there's, you know, we've had a couple of off seasons in a row where, more this one than last, but, you know, the thought of big name guys moving around, again, it didn't happen that radically last off season, but this year it has, even though Rodgers stayed put. If there's any of that again, with, I don't know who, like, who's up next, right? Derek Carr, I don't know, like, who's the next guy that could be, like, pretty good.
Cousins.
But might be moving. Cousins, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, does he get, you know, all right, well, this isn't working, all right? This is year four now with Tua, or is this year three? This is year three.
This will be three.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. We haven't made progress, and, you know, it could be good for them. It also could be like you make a mistake because you go to somebody. You mentioned Cousins. Like, to me, Cousins isn't getting you anywhere. He might be better than Tua at certain things, but that's not someone, like, if Miami went all out to get Kirk Cousins after this season, I would clap. Good for you. Thank you for doing that. I'm not intimidated at all.
They want to be in next year's draft somewhere at least, but if they win 9 or 10 games again.
They have two firsts next year.
Who else do they have?
The Eagles? Niners.
The Niners. Okay.
From the Eagles.
Joe Ostrowski from BetQL coming up. We will also have a guest at 4, Kevin Ostreicher, Locked On Ravens. We'll talk about Baltimore some today. And then also Brian Koziol back on with us late in the show to talk about round one at the PGA. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
It's harder scoring the defensive player of the year, fool.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You better look at my finals against Dikembe Mutombo. No, it ain't. It is not. Jimmy Butler is a great player. If you want to get 40, he can get 40. Hey, I don't want to hear that defensive player of the year.
Listen,
I don't even want to hear that. stack it out a little bit. Check what I did to Kimba Mutombo. Call him right now and ask him.
Listen.
Clip from the extra point today on WGR. Sometimes hard to follow, but I thought worth it. Yeah. And anyway. Shaq. Barkley stepped in it last night.
Yeah.
If there is such a thing as Barkley, Barkley seems immune. I mean, he...
Yeah.
I don't know. But you often get, fireworks on that show.
It's a good show.
I guess.
Not sure what exactly the hell was going on there, but it's a good show. I like it. I'm a fan.
I always think it's amazing when a sport or the networks get like the all-time greatest players to sort of do that job. Because I just would never, as soon as I'm done with all my hundreds of millions or whatever it is for a guy like Shaquille O'Neal, I'm just done. I'm out. I'm going to the beach. I'm living on a boat. You want me to go to a studio and talk about the Indiana Pacers once a week? Like, I think it's amazing. On the line is the host of BetQL Daily and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Joe Ostrowski. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Joe, what's new?
I feel the same way. But hasn't the game completely changed? And it started with Romo, and now we have Brady. Oh, this is the TV money that's there? For years, I felt, okay, the best players in the sport, we're no longer going to see them in booths. They're not going to go to studios. But now they are, and they'll promote their brands and all sorts of stuff. It is a whole different world. And every other sport is trying to copy and paste TNT. Guys, it's just not going to happen ever.
We have Gretzky and Messier, right, Bulldog?
Right, and Paul Bissonnette. Yeah, I mean, TNT has got Bissonnette and Gretzky, and there's a rotating cat. Gretzky's not there all the time, but and good luck getting a hockey guy to be, or girl, to be that, you know, whatever, that glib, I guess. I mean, you know, Gretzky's been fine, but to me, the ESPN show got better when Messier got replaced with PK Subban. There's a little more personality there, and Subban is much more natural. Messier just seems like he needs cue cards to give an opinion. He just seems very nervous about just talking extemporaneously, and that's not a good thing for those shows.
We can't have that around here.
No. In general, it seems like the national hockey, the studio guys, that they're trying to bring some personality out of. Mm-hmm. They can't go negative. It's hard for them to criticize too much. That's part of the problem. But overall, the ESPN platform has helped the sport a lot, and betting has helped the sport a lot this season.
Joe, where do you want to start? There's so much. It's all kind of maybe about the same in terms of interest with the playoffs and always with the NFL. I mean, there's always that to talk about. And the PGA.
Yeah. Yeah, we can. Well, Bulldog, you called that last night?
What? Calgary?
My goodness.
And by the way, well, good. Let's start here. Yes. I just checked. Tomorrow night's game, the over is 6.5. So it got bumped up by a half a goal after 15 goals were scored in the game. And, like, look, yeah, I'm not expecting, like, an avalanche of goals to continue. But, yeah, I said the other day on the show that, like, Calgary was bogged down by Dallas. Edmonton's pretty loose. And I bet there's going to be fireworks there. And, I mean, I was not expecting 9-6 or 3-0 5 minutes in. But, like, it was, you know, to me, that you could see that coming a mile away.
All you needed was 4-3.
Right.
Mike Smith, take a seat after 6 minutes after the playoffs that he's had so far. I guess you knew it was a matter of time. I think there are a lot of fascinating angles here with what, and I should always check what Bulldog has, because was it China information you have
over this earlier?
Guys, nothing on the that I outed myself on it being old. Just stop. No.
Okay.
It's like Joe lived the myth that I knew exactly what was going on at the moment with the Chinese national.
A win is a win.
Yes, that's right.
And you had last night, and boy, just between those two games, you have the extremes of the shootout, the highest scoring postseason game since 1993, the total hitting by 8.5 goals. And then you have on the other side, you can play the alt unders, like the under 4.5 with the New York and Carolina game, and that was plus 265. Last week, we were talking about the totals, and the rate that the overs have been hitting. And as a whole, that is still the case. They're still hitting at 60%. But we did see, before last night, we did see a bit of a flip. And it always flips. Once those numbers adjust, the overs aren't going to keep on hitting. And in the last 4 days of hockey, we've seen unders go 6-2-1. And like I mentioned, they're still at that 60% number, and these numbers are still up there, 6.5. Some books have St. Louis, Colorado tonight at 7. At 7. So it's not like we're seeing this big-time adjustment bringing that down. So I think that's pretty interesting. And also how it's tiered with the cup odds, because, of course, you have Colorado, the runaway favorite, around plus 180. And then in that second tier, tough for people to decide. Do they like Calgary, Florida, Tampa, Carolina, all in that 5-6-1 range, and then the long shots because they're down 0-1, the Oilers and the Rangers, and then because the Blues have the Avs, they're the super long shot at 40-1. So a lot of interesting things happening with hockey, especially compared to the NBA, which has been, I mean, outside of the entertainment of the halftime pre and post game, it's been terrible. There are no close games on a nightly basis. Every game has been a blowout. Guys, the last 12 playoff games in the NBA, the average margin of victory has been over 22 points per game.
Yeah, Dallas is setting some record for like how they've played almost no close games here. Huge wins or huge losses and very little in between.
Might get you tempted to lay points. I've been mostly just doing money line stuff when I'm trying to pick winners. But the point you just made about the NBA might tempt you to dive in there and get better odds.
Well, but if you like the dog, just take the money line there.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Just do that. Well, what are we betting in hockey tonight? I've got to get my information.
I have no take ready for you on tonight, but I do have two things to say about the playoffs. One, I mean, Joe, Bulldog, for 35 years-ish, I have been like, oh, the 80s. Man, Edmonton, Calgary, you'd have a 9-6 game. It's so different. It literally happened last night. This is like the game for me to use for how scoring is so back in hockey. I mean, 9-6. Because you did have games like that, and they were not that uncommon back in those days. But here we have one happening now. I think the smartest... If that's not really the word I want. The cup bet I want to make is to choose between Florida and Tampa Bay, because the odds are this way. And what do they show you? They show that there's no deciding between Florida and Tampa Bay. But who wins that series will probably be favored in the conference finals, right? I mean, their cup odds are almost the same as Carolina. Carolina was a good favorite against the Rangers, and they're ahead. But you just have to be right. You have to be right between Florida and Tampa, and if you can bring yourself to pick a side there at plus 550, I think that bet will look good if you get through round two. That might not be saying much, but I think that's where I'd want to play.
I'm way in on Tampa. I've got them to win the East. I've got them to win this series. I've got them to win the Cup. So, like, I'm invested. So I don't know that I can objectively tell you what to do tonight, Joe, with Tampa and Florida, because I'm hanging tough with Tampa. I told Joe off the air, I don't think this ever came up on the air, I think Blues and Avalanche, there could be value in the Blues. Those games, I think, will be close. They won't look close as you're watching them, and if you look at the shots and the shot attempts, they might not be close, but I think those could be close games. I mean, you saw it the other night. I mean, Colorado dominated them, and it still took overtime for them to win a one-goal game. So I'm sort of sitting on the Blues tonight with my fingers crossed and peering through my eyes like I'm watching a horror movie, because I mean, Colorado could just boat race them. They are super talented, but I kind of like the Blues.
On the Tampa front, what was interesting coming into the playoffs, and I don't think you'd see this in any other sport, a team going for three in a row, they were the fifth favorite. They were the fifth favorite coming in, and now they're on par with everybody else, tied as the second. And the Colorado number is minus 240 on the money line to win. So what most people are going to do, if you're betting Colorado, they'll just say, oh, I'll take the puck line. We're not going to see another overtime game. It's not going to be that close. They woke up the Avs, and they're just going to run away with it. That's what most people are going to bet. But as you're talking there, I'm thinking maybe puck line on St. Louis. You get +1.5, another one-goal game. Even if they do lose, you win the wager.
I think, Joe, last year, you had joined us in time for us to be talking about golf betting a little bit. And also at the Masters this year, you might know about our little game that we play for every major where one of us picks 10 players and, you know, different odds depending on how big of a long shot they are. I'm not even sure the math really works in this game, but it's what we do. And so here at the PGA, McIlroy, a great first round. He's won this tournament when he's put up 5-under in the past, twice even. But so many good players, such a deep field. What do you want? Where do you want to be here at the PGA?
Boy, it feels like an overreaction that we saw to Rory this morning for the live odds. Because a few minutes ago, I just checked, he's plus 320. We have 3 days left.
Right.
Three and a major.
He was plus 1,600 yesterday.
Yes. The overreaction. So Zalatoris, that was one of my plays. We'll see if I'm heartbroken again. He was 41-1 coming into the tournament. He's one shot back, and people don't bet him because he hasn't had that big moment. I mean, these young guns, they don't. Yeah, you could say that about certain guys. Well, usually they're going to break through at some point. So that's interesting. At the top, Tiger, it's going to be a struggle for him to make the cut. He's around the T100 range. He had 7 bogeys today after what looked to be a pretty decent start. The wind started to pick up this afternoon. So your wind guys that you're going to want to take a look at, European players. Lowry, that's why his number, 35-1 coming into the tournament. Fitzpatrick, Norin, maybe even Fleetwood. Those are some guys to take a look at. But in such a small sample, maybe half of a day of golf, how these numbers drop is pretty amazing. DJ didn't have a great start. He goes in that 25-1 range all the way down to 60-1. Spieth going for the career Grand Slam, the buzzy name coming into the tournament. He's as short as 12-1 this morning, and now he's 55-1. Morikawa's numbers has dropped. He's in that 30-1 range, best irons in the world. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up taking a run. So a bunch of names to keep an eye on. Pereira near the top, he's 50-1. On BetQL Daily, we were talking to a bookmaker the other day, said they were getting some sharp money on Pereira. And at that time, he was in the 250 range.
Joe.
So that's been bet down.
Sneaky Joe knows I have Pereira in fantasy.
Oh,
how about this?
He just shouted his name randomly like 30 minutes ago.
I did, and Joe had to think about who it was.
I thought he was talking about an Everton midfielder.
Joe, so...
Mike Pereira, right.
Yeah, right. What's going on, Joe?
The first thing I want to know is what tomorrow's wind forecast is, because I think it was out there yesterday that big advantage to the morning guys today. Now, I didn't put that into my thinking with my picks, but maybe I should have, because like the top players in the world, most of them went off, you know, this afternoon. And if tomorrow's going to be like that, then that can be canceled out. But if not, maybe there's a big edge there that will manifest over the course of the tournament. The guys who played this morning, maybe they got lucky.
Look at the top of the board. Didn't we see that? Rory played early. Zalatoris played early. But a lot of these names are up there. So, yeah, that's something to take a look at. As far as matchups, they always pair them with the guys. They're playing around the same time, so not too much of an edge there. But your daily leaders, certainly first-round leader. But for tomorrow, usually the guy that shoots the best, you could find props like that. So maybe look for some earlier guys.
With Joe Ostrowski from BetQL here on WGR, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. How about NFL futures, Joe? I mean, we talk about this often enough, and there's not a lot of news for this week. We talked AFC North last week. I've got MGM open, and the top three teams are all plus 200. I think one team that has gotten a little buzzy is the Eagles with the James Bradbury acquisition, and people I think have overall really liked their moves this offseason. What does that division look like to you?
People get on top of this earlier and earlier every single year. I'm wondering now, is the value almost gone on the Eagles? I like the Eagles, but now they're 2-1. 2-1, and I understand if you're going to fade the Cowboys, they're about even money at most spots, and then I don't think Washington and New York are going to play a part, not this year in the division. But the Eagles one certainly makes a lot of sense. I think what it really comes down to in the very end, outside of the additions that they've made – on both sides of the ball this offseason is how much do you believe in Jalen Hurts, and do you think that he's going to be able to take that next step?
Man,
that's what people have to buy into. It's you know, it's funny with the head coach last year. Early on, he didn't want to go run. Eventually, he did, and then they became one of the best running teams in the NFL. I don't know that that's a good thing, but their actions offensively are telling us a different story, that they don't want to be a run team, and I think that's probably the smart move in the end.
Can you guys get there? Like, in fantasy, too, this is happening with Jalen Hurts. With A.J. Brown there, already Devontae Smith, Goddard's good. Like, yes, his passing, but you can. Yeah.
I can see it. I mean, I'm guilty. You know, it's funny. We opened today's show, Joe, talking about Saban and Jimbo Fisher and college football. And, like, I love Jalen Hurts coming out of college. Like, I was a fan. You know, I was a fan of him in Alabama and then at Oklahoma. So I'm sort of stuck with, like, a guy that I'm sort of rooting for. So, but I can see it. I mean, I think there's talent there. I mean, you know, the passing isn't elite, but I like the running ability, and the weapons are nice. Like, I'm sort of buying the Eagles here. I haven't put money on it, but I'm listening to it, and I'm not rolling my eyes.
I understand where people are coming from. And the A.J. Brown move is really what put it over the top. It'd be hard to get there without that move and the number of receivers that they've taken a swing and missed on. But I think with Brown, and they have one of the easiest schedules, NFC North, NFC East, very, very soft schedules this season, I think they can get there.
Joe, individual games are up at some... like
ready.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Is that a smart strategy to go after? Like, if you have a team that you like more than the market and you can bet their win total and maybe a division bet, depending on what that looks like. But then do I also want to go through, like, every week and bet them? Because if I'm right that they're good, those numbers will change and I'll be in great shape.
Yeah, and you could be right about another team as well. If you're thinking, like, obviously for my work in Chicago, I was looking at the Bears numbers. Oh, they're a favorite twice this year. This is going to be fun. And then the two that are standing out, okay, against Lovie Smith week 3, I'm not going to bet on the Bears as a field goal favorite at home. And by the time we get to week 10, I'm not sure that they're going to be favorites against the Lions. I was thinking about taking the Lions right now.
Mm-hmm.
Projecting that far out without knowing the health of the quarterback, that's right, always a little dicey. That's why I would hesitate. And things flip so quickly in this league. So I think it's interesting to talk about when we have the conversation of division odds and win totals. But as far as betting a game in week number 12, I'm probably not going to do it because I don't know the status of the injury report.
Okay. Yeah, smart. I like Detroit, too.
I was going to go to that. Oh, man. I hear it. I understand. I'm totally with you. But everybody's saying the same thing.
I know. That's right. That's right. Everybody likes Detroit right now, which is very weird.
Well, and I think it's only going to continue. It's May, and we're feeling that way. Did you see what happened with their schedule last week?
I don't know.
They are the only team in the NFL that does not have a rest disadvantage in any week.
Okay.
Only team. They're going to be on Hard Knocks. They had a strong draft. People love Dan Campbell. I think if you're interested in any Lions bets, that you should make them sooner rather than later. They're 10-1 to win the division.
I think that's the bet. Of all the Lions, yeah, like, there aren't that many. We're talking about how you can bet individual games, but I think the NFC North bet works.
Mm-hmm. NFC North bet, yeah, there are some sports books that still have the Bears as the third favorite instead of the Lions. I don't understand that one. I think that'll eventually be different across the board, and the Lions will be in that third spot. Another possibility, with a weaker NFC overall, the best number I see is plus 440 on them to make the playoffs.
Okay, half the teams do. Almost half the teams do.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
It's, well, if you're going to take them to win the division, you might as well just double it up and take them to make the right. I mean, what are we doing here?
Right? You know, one more thought. So Garoppolo is still on the 49ers and Mayfield is still on the Browns. Mm-hmm. I would like to figure out a way to bet that those things will both change. And all right, so how would that happen? Carolina, for one. Maybe Carolina works as an over right now because everybody kind of hates everything about it. But I think someone other than Darnold starts for them because they're still, it still sort of makes sense with Mayfield's contract and Garoppolo's injury why they wouldn't have been moved. So maybe Carolina, or I guess Seattle would be the other team for this. I don't know who else.
Carolina, some books have five. Man, it's all over the map. Some have 5.5. There's a 6, and then there's also a 6.5 in Carolina. And Seattle, mostly 5.5, as high as 6.5. I guess. What does that do for you if you're Seattle?
Mayfield or probably
any,
not.
Any upgrade at this point?
It could work, but even with Metcalf and Lockett, you know they still want to run it. That is their brand. Mm-hmm. And so they probably, I mean, clearly they're not eager to go into that quarterback market. They end up with Locke. I don't know. I guess you could, if with that variance with those two teams, you could find the lower number and take a shot. I mean, under 5.5 is 5-12, right? It's 12 losses. You know, you could get lucky and still beat that number. Anyway, I do think those guys will be on new teams by the fall.
So. In that same win total range, 5.5 is what I think will be one of the most popular over bets, the Jets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't decided yet. We talked to Aaron Schatz yesterday, and his computer loves their defense.
Okay,
which I have to think about.
That's basically you're saying I don't really care.
I kind of learned that from Aaron. Yeah. Did not really care about that, but it might be something. I don't know. Joe, thanks for your time.
You got it, guys.
Joe Ostrowski from BetQL every Thursday here on WGR, the host of BetQL Daily. Be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more of Joe's analysis. Just search BetQL wherever you find your podcasts. There it is on MGM, Rams, Bills. Rams -1, 52.5. Just makes it seem close. It's not. It's almost 4 months away. I made this point to my wife today. She got mad.
Right.
She's like, I've told you for years, do not rush football.
Right.
All right? That means you're gone every Sunday. I just do not. Come on. It's just now nice out. Do not rush football in front of me.
I meant to make this point last week during the schedule because, I mean, we were so obsessed with it, of course, and it was just a week ago today. Like, that is the one time that when the weather is just getting nice that I will accept talking about the fall. Like, what do we want? What's going to happen? When are the games? All that. Then I put it away. Like, I bristle at, oh, like my neighbor when we had the place in Canada. Like, we would just get up there for July, right? And he's been there since before Memorial Day with his wife next door. And so it'd be like the middle of July, and I'd come home from work and open a beer and go sit out there and look at the lake with him, and he'd say something like, man, summer's already almost over. And I'd be like, dude, I just got here. Don't come with the summer's already almost over nonsense. I haven't even put away groceries yet.
Right.
Slow down.
That's not what you want to hear.
The schedule, I make an exception for the schedule.
But that's over now, so I'll have
that's
to be
over now. So now,
careful.
So you bringing this up to Joe? I'm can't even think about betting week one or week 10 football right now. I just can't do it.
No, right. I understand. I'll try to be more cognizant of your feelings. Next up, Baltimore, Kevin Ostreicher. What kind of threat are the Ravens? They've been so good for the balance of the last 3-4 years. Last year, their season fell apart. What happens this year? What happens to Lamar Jackson in the future? No contract yet? Obvious questions, but I'm sure Kevin's used to them and will ace the test. We'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens when we come back. More football, hockey, golf throughout the day. Brian Koziol will join us again today at 6 on the PGA. Updates all day. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.